riffing on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Snarly, gotta cut you down.
Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Right, going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And I want to draw attention to something, a tactic that the Democratic Party is engaging in that I think is very destructive. And I think it's destructive for the Democratic Party, but more importantly, it's destructive for our country. And here's what it is. We talked about it a little the other day, but there's a new development. And this is the tactic the Democratic Party, when they see on the other side of a race, whether it's Senate or governor or Congress, a candidate who is such a far-right nut that they think if we can help that far-right nut get nominated, then our candidate will surely beat him in the general election, and it's a way for us to get in office or keep in office. That goes back to 2012, when Claire McCaskill in Missouri, incumbent senator, was in trouble in a race, a Democrat, good senator. And in the Republican field against her, there was a guy who is a right-wing nut. And he said some very offensive things about women in the primary, in particular about rape, saying that he felt that some allegations were not true, without any explanation of why he thought that or, you know, where his expertise was and all this. And they were truly offensive. So Claire McCaskill put on ads, the Democrats did, that said that using only his picture and his name, not the other Republicans, saying, this guy is too much of a Republican. He's too conservative. He believes in tax cuts. He believes in less regulation. Everything Republicans claim they like, and they did it as a pretend attack. But basically, they gave him an awful lot of publicity. He won the primary, and then she unloaded him in the general, and she got another term. Until in 2018, Josh Hawley sadly beat her. Josh Hawley is one of the worst members of the Senate. They also did in Indiana with Joe Donnelly. Joe Donnelly, Democrat. Indiana is a red state. It's hard to win. But there was another right-wing nut on the other side who had made similar statements to the Republican in Missouri, and they just highlighted it, put a lot of money in, and he got nominated, and then Joe Donnelly beat him and served one term. But, you know, we had a Senate seat. So the geniuses in the Democratic Party go, well, you know, if it worked there, why doesn't it work all the time? But there are two very, very different circumstances. People making terrible, disgusting comments about women and about sexual assault are one thing. But the Democratic Party, in three occasions this time, has intervened to get somebody nominated who would destroy our democracy on the right. And if things take a bad bounce and that individual gets in, you have just put in somebody who's going to turn the electoral votes of that state crookedly for the Republicans. That's an unacceptable risk. That is stupid. Give you some examples, and then I'll give you the latest example. The first example is this Mastriano, Doug Mastriano, right-wing Republican nut, QAnon sympathizer in Pennsylvania. Democrats boosted him, and he got nominated. But in Pennsylvania, the governor gets to appoint the Secretary of State. Appoint him. Doesn't require Senate confirmation. And this guy is not only an election denier, but he was one of the team leaders on the fake election scheme. He was the contact for the fake electors. If he gets in, he has said that he will not certify any election for a Democrat, no matter what the popular vote says. What in God's name is the Democratic Party doing taking that risk? Our candidate is Josh Shapiro, Attorney General, a very good guy. But Josh Shapiro, as Attorney General, has had to make some tough decisions, and one of them he brought suit to enforce a contraception mandate for insurance, and some of the people that he joined as defendants, there was a declaratory judgment, were various Catholic religious orders of very good people who had a different view. And suddenly all the ads out there on the Republican side are going that he deliberately sued them, making it sound like he even wanted damages. And the Republican Party has now rallied against Doug Mastriano. The bet that the Democrats made was a stupid bet. The Republican Party has not distanced itself from Mastriano. And Josh Shapiro is in almost a dead heat, statistical dead heat with him. We could lose that governorship. I hope we don't. I don't think we will. But if we did, we're going to have a QAnon election denier as governor of Pennsylvania and secretary of state. The other one was Maryland. Maryland's a blue state. You know, yes, Larry Hogan's a Republican, but he's liberal. He's term limited. So Larry Hogan endorsed very moderate Republican. We had some good Democratic candidates. One of them is Tom Perez. Tom Perez was Secretary of Labor under Obama, and he also was head of the Democratic Party nationally. Very competitive. There was a nut, however, on the Republican side named Cox, C-O-X, Cox. And Cox was an election denier. He's like Mastriano. So the Democratic geniuses put $450,000 into an ad just tying the bad guy to Trump, and actually more than 450. That's Michigan, which I'm going to get to now, is millions. Tying Cox to Trump, saying he's a conservative, he'd cut taxes. He gets nominated. He beats Larry Hogan's moderate Republican. And it took a bad bounce in the Democratic Party. The guy who won the primary was not Perez. It was a guy who had been born in New York and had been in trouble as a kid. Turned himself around, exemplary guy, and started a nonprofit in Maryland. No political experience. Suddenly, he snuck through the primary. So he's running against Cox. Cox is being massively funded by the Republicans. And our guy is totally unknown, no experience running anything except a nonprofit. And, especially in this year, with Biden in the White House, he could lose. We'll have an election denier who will deny Maryland's electoral votes to any Democrat because of this tactic. But the third one is even more offensive. That was in Michigan. That came out yesterday. There's a moderate Republican named Peter Meyer. M-E-I-J-E-R. You may have seen Meyer stores. I think they're food stores. Meyer. You don't pronounce the J. So he's a wealthy guy, but he's moderate. He's sort of like Liz Cheney. He votes with Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, and Mitt Romney. He's running against a guy in a primary for Congress, to defend his seat in the Republican primary named Gibbs, G-I-B-B-S. So the Republican primary will be Peter Meyer, the incumbent, against Gibbs. And the area has gotten a little more Democratic, so Meyer did have a tough time anyway in a general. The Dems put in $425,000 on ads tying Gibbs to Trump, saying Gibbs is too much like Trump, supported by Trump, would cut taxes and all this. Remember, this is the Republican primary. It's open to Republicans over there. Here we have an open primary, but there it's Republicans. Gibbs could beat Meyer, and you would have an election denier and a Trump guy with Gibbs running against a Democrat in a seat that is a Republican seat, even though it's gotten slightly more Democratic. So the Democrats over there, this is Sean Patrick Maloney's fault. He's the head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, stupidly going, well, it worked for Claire McCaskill against the guy who made offensive comments about women. It worked for Joe Donnelly against the guy who made offensive comments about women. Therefore, we should do it for governor in Maryland, governor in Pennsylvania, Congress in Michigan, against an incumbent Republican who's a good guy, who's like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, stood tall and took a lot of risks anyway. And the off chance that we will, we can certainly beat Gibbs, and we can certainly beat Cox and Mastriano. No. Mastriano's in a statistical tie with Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, and he can appoint the Secretary of State. Cox is now running against a Democrat who basically is a success story himself. He cleaned up his life, runs a nonprofit, snuck through the Democratic primary, never held political office, and nobody knows who he is. In maybe a Republican year. And Gibbs, we are then going to what? Kneecap Peter Meyer, who's one of 10 or 11 Republicans who voted to impeach Trump. David Axelrod, Obama's strategist, and I know David Axelrod, I've met him, he's a good man, came out and he attacked the Democrats for doing this. He said, wait a minute, here you're going to go kneecapping a guy who stood tall to stand up to Trump? Why don't you do it to Liz Cheney? I mean, you know, for love of Pete. It's worse than a crime. It's a blunder, a very severe blunder. We could end up with Republican governors in Maryland and in Pennsylvania who are election deniers. We could end up with knocking Peter Meyer out and putting in Gibbs, who could very easily beat the Democrat, have another election denier spending millions of dollars that they have solicited from rank and file Democrats to make this stupid decision. In the strongest terms, if you have any contact with anybody in the Democratic leadership here in the state or anywhere else, tell them this is dumb, it's wrong, it's frankly immoral in my view, because it gambles our democracy. And it's got to stop, but it's happening all over the country. The Democratic Party simply cannot learn. They cannot think this through. That's what it is. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after. Down off the hill to Felina I go.
Off to my right I see five mounted cowboys. Off to my left, right, a dozen or more. Shouting and shooting, I can't let them catch me. I have to make it to Rose's back door.
As the snow flies.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Very disturbing report has just come out of the U.S. Senate, a bipartisan report about mainland China, communist China's penetration of the Federal Reserve in this country. And I'm going to give you some facts, and it concerns me very much. They have had a 10-year campaign to steal information and corrupt employees of the Federal Reserve. They use the pretense of academic collaboration with some economists, some longstanding relationships with people, with non-public information, that is confidential information. And they have interfered directly. There's one Federal Reserve employee, there are a number of Federal Reserve employees who are Chinese nationals. One was detained when he was over in China. Four times he was detained. He was threatened, his family was threatened. He was detained in Shanghai. His phone was tapped, and he was asked by the Chinese to sign a non-disclosure agreement about anything that they did with him. He fortunately reported that. Since in the 2 years from 2000 to 2022, the FBI has opened more than 2,000 investigations regarding Chinese theft of information and technology. 2,000. They open a couple every week. One employee that was traveling to China to visit family was accused of crimes against China, told to say good things about China, and that he would have to give economic advice to the Chinese about the Fed. He did report that, to his credit. But others that have had ties to China who are working for the Fed have tried to send information and were caught. They have relationships with Chinese universities that are tied to the military. And this has been going on for 10 years. This has been going on through Democratic and Republican administrations. Now, the one, when he was questioned about sending the data, then changed his passwords. This is a Fed employee, communication channels, and they had him searching. They looked at his data that they hacked into, basically, his social media, and they found that he searched for articles on economic espionage. This has got to stop. This has got to stop. If you hire people in the Fed or in any sensitive area, the CIA, the military, or Chinese nationals who have family in China, the Chinese have announced a doctrine called the KITE, K-I-T-E. And that doctrine is this. They said somebody who leaves China to work somewhere else, yeah, they're beyond our reach, although there have been instances where they've been threatened and attacked even in the United States. One was a congressional candidate, by the way. But they said they're a kite, but the strings are held in Beijing. Their families are there. And suddenly they get word that their mother was arrested. She's being mistreated. This is going on. You cannot hire Chinese nationals with family in China, in the Fed, the CIA, the military, or anything sensitive in this country. Secondly, people who come to this country, and they work for corporations and otherwise, they are stealing intellectual property. They're stealing information. And it's no good to say that this is not going on. Something's got to be done. I think there's got to be a thorough cleaning of our entire government to root out the spies and thieves that are in there. Many of them not bad people. They're doing it to save their families from persecution in China. Go on the lines. Pete of Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling. Pete, what's on your mind today, sir?
Well, what's on my mind is that Channel 12 in Milwaukee just changed the rules for their town hall. They had said they were going to have the top four candidates, according to Marquette, on their town hall. I happen to be in fourth for the race for the Democratic nomination for the United States Senate. After Tom Nelson withdrew, and they've changed their rules. So now they're going to have candidates 1, 2, 3, and 5 instead of 1, 2, 3, and 4 on their town hall on next week. This is really not understandable. It's a continuation of various other ways, my ad, and what I'm saying on the campaign trail. Having been certified to be on the ballot, has been censored throughout the state of Wisconsin.
Okay, we are hearing from Peter Pekarsky. It says Peter Milwaukee, but I know the voice. It's Peter Pekarsky. Peter Pekarsky is a candidate for U.S. Senate in the Democratic primary on August 9. He's a graduate of MIT with a degree in electrical engineering, and he has said, and I think it's true, that if he were on committees that had to do with climate change, weapon systems, security, there is nobody that would have greater scientific knowledge of the subject matter. That's got to be taken into account. What Peter is saying is that one of the TV stations in Milwaukee won't let him and several other candidates even on the air unless they pay for it. And in their debates and in their town halls, they're limiting it to the top three people in the polls now, plus number five. And what that says to me is there used to be a thing called the equal time provision in politics. I mean, it seems to me that they're going to have to mention Peter Pekarsky and some of the other candidates somehow in their news or whatever. But in this particular format, they have the top three in the poll, but then the number five is at 1%. And I have a feeling that the other three are also probably down in that realm. So my view is that you should hear from everybody. My view is that you should have all the candidates. So Peter Pekarsky calling in has a very just complaint. Peter, I'm glad you called. And just so everybody knows, the voice you just heard was Peter Pekarsky, who is on the ballot August 9. He got his signatures. Has an MIT degree in electrical engineering. And he has special knowledge, much more so than anyone else, that I know of in politics on things like climate change. I'm talking about the science of it. I'm talking about understanding science in weapon systems and that kind of thing. Peter, thanks a lot for calling in. As always, we appreciate it. And unlike the TV station in Milwaukee, everybody who's a candidate is welcome on their show. Everybody who's a candidate is welcome on this show. One quick little tidbit. When Trump is deciding whether to declare for 2024, legally, he's going to lose control of $103 million in his Save America PAC. And the one reason he's delaying is because he wants his hands on the money. However, he's a prolific fundraiser, and he is not giving any of it to the Republican Party. He's keeping it for himself. But if he holds off for a while, it's to keep his mitts on $103 million. Just so you know, we're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. Then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, he steals a car.
The lack of crucial parts and technologies is really damaging their production of everything. The thing about natural gas, I'd always thought, well, Germany and Europe and the rest of them are through the back door subsidizing the war in Ukraine by buying natural gas from Russia. Well, Sonnenfeld proved, he said, that the cutting the natural gas to Europe, because Russia just now came out and cut natural gas down to a very, very small amount, thinking they're going to punish Europe. Sonnenfeld showed this. He said, only 46% of Europe's gas comes from Russia in the first place. But 83% of their gas goes to Europe. When they cut it, they hurt themselves twice as much as they hurt Europe. Then finally, China, which is sometimes appears to side with them, is not helping them completely at all. So this is all good news. Very, very good news. The problem is it takes time. And my message to Joe Biden is, Joe, send Zelensky the planes he wants. Send him 100 HIMARS, not 16. And send a Navy escort flotilla through the Bosporus, the Dardanelles, into the Black Sea. Let the Russians know in advance to escort UN ships that will take the grain out and feed the third world, because Russia said that they signed an agreement on that. And by the way, Russia, if a missile so much gets fired while those Navy ships are there, you've heard of the Battle of Midway. You've heard of the Battle of Leyte Gulf. Battle of the Black Sea is these rusty Russian ships are going to be at the bottom of the Black Sea. So shut up. Go to the lines. Rob of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Rob of West Allis.
Good morning. I just wanted to add to the comments regarding the importance of people with a science background in government. There's far too many lawyers, no offense, Matt, there's far too many business people. And over the weekend, I had caught a segment of the show State of the States, where they kind of go through what's going on in every single state across the country in the state houses, Senate, and those areas. And they had two legislators on from Georgia. One was a physician. The other one was a microbiologist. She was still teaching. You know, she had a PhD because their stuff meets part-time. But they pointed out two examples that I thought were very eye-opening. One was when Georgia wanted to pass the six-week abortion ban. I believe it was Georgia Bill 481. She said what happened was there was an organization with these physicians and obstetricians on it that were saying things that just weren't true about conception and pregnancy, and several things were off. Well, she checked into it, and she found out one of the state legislators there on the Republican side had created this organization, put false information in, and then referenced it in the bill. The other one, the microbiologist, said when COVID was raging down there, Kemp had a graph where it was showing a smooth decline in cases. And what she quickly noticed is they put the months out of order on the chart to make it look like the cases are going down and the deaths are going down when they actually were increasing. So I just wanted to chime in on that how important it is to have scientists involved in the political process.
Wow. Yeah, that's very, very important information. And it kind of opens my eyes. Yeah. When Peter Pekarsky called in, Peter is an electrical engineering degree. And the truth is, when you do look at the committees, you know, they're great at giving silky speeches, a lot of them. But most of them don't know anything about science. They truly don't know anything about science. And one of the benefits that having scientifically knowledgeable people in the Congress that you just point out is the Republicans are not above. In fact, that example is shocking, and I'm sure there are others. They're cooking the data and cooking the presentation. So that the average person goes, oh, deaths are going down. That's great. They don't dig into it. And the newspapers are doing a good job. The national ones trying to dig this stuff out, but they can't cover everything. So, that's a good point. Good luck at getting lawyers out of Congress. I mean, going back to the beginning of the, you know, Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer, so give me a break. But in any event, not everybody is Abraham Lincoln. So here's the deal. Here is the deal. With Russia, we have got to crack down even more. It turned out, it was just revealed, that J.P. Morgan, Citibank, and the major international banks are financing Russian oil because they're financing their traders, and many traders, and many of them have investments in Russian securities in their oil companies and so on. You do not want a circumstance where the government tells somebody where you can invest and not, although if this it may come to the point where you can say you can't buy Russian securities, and I would support that. But what about people that already have positions in Russian securities, especially large banks? If they have to unload them at $0, that's going to hurt the banking system. I think the way to do it is to pass sanctions that say there'll be a special tax on anybody investing in Russia of instead of capital gains, it'll be 50%, 75%. That incentivizes them to sell them. But there are people who are avoiding these sanctions. Frankly, some of the European countries are avoiding the sanctions. Some of our banks are avoiding the sanctions. And the point of Sonnenfeld's excellent article is that they're having real effect, and that basically Russia's economy is a basket case. And you say, well, why don't people rise up? They've lost more than 50,000 casualties in Ukraine, which is dead or seriously wounded. And the dead now, according to the Ukrainian government, Russians are approaching 40,000. Why aren't the moms there demonstrating? Like in Vietnam, they were drafting kids out of high school. They were going over with 6 or 8 weeks training at Fort Dix in New Jersey, and they were targets. They went into the jungle and they got shot. And finally, people put an end to it. Well, you can't over there because they will arrest you and throw you in jail. And you just can't do it. They're afraid to do it, so they will continue to be drafted and killed. But when it comes to the collapse of their economy, when it comes to the fact that there's nothing on the shelves, this is like Soviet-era times or World War II times, at some point, when does the pressure grow so that an oligarch, for instance, with a lot of money, who realizes he's next on the murder list? Putin has already killed about 6 oligarchs, and every one, he said, is a murder-suicide, and he kills their families. But some of them have been stabbed. The oligarch and his wife and daughter stabbed. One in Barcelona, one in Moscow, and they're around Russia, the rest of them. If you think that you're about to be stabbed and your wife and daughter about to be stabbed, don't you take out Putin? I mean, don't you take out Putin? What's the matter with you? And you have some cover here if this keeps going on. One fascinating tidbit that came out was that, remember when Putin went to, met with Erdogan and the Iranian guy, and they were talking in the Middle East? There is speculation that he has been negotiating with the Iranians, that if it looks like he's going to be ousted, they will take him in, and he'll go to Iran and live. He's already looking for an exit. My view is kill him first, but if he's going to go to Iran, fine. But something's got to be done. We're going to the Lions. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bill. What's in your mind?
Good morning, Matt. Say, I wanted to circle back to something I talked about yesterday. I did call Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger, and Liz Cheney just had a voicemail, and I put my message in. But Adam Kissinger had an intern. And when we talked, and I said they ought to consider running for president, vice president, 2024, and they're bringing the country back together. They're destroying all this partisans in politics. They're uniting the country. Unless he was brand new on the job, he sounded inspired. He really did, and it made me feel good that I think I had, you know, spoke my piece. 2 weeks ago, I went to City Hall here in Oconomowoc when they had passed this concealed carry in the library, and I said to him, I said, something as serious as a life and death issue in the library should be a citywide referendum. I said, if you study how many hours you get of training to kill a person, it's only 4 hours for concealed carry. Hunter safety, you spend weeks to kill an animal, to learn how to kill an animal. So if that doesn't say it all, and here's my point. All the listeners, get active, make calls, challenge people. We're going to have the RNC hanging around Wisconsin maybe more than we need to, but walk up to them and thank them. Shake your hands and say, thanks for cleaning house. Thanks for you guys taking charge of Trump. Thanks for you guys restoring it. You're going to catch them so off guard. Nobody's going to holler or get mad at you for thanking them for the job that some Republicans are doing. I'll hang up and hear your reaction. Thank you, Matt.
Excellent reaction. Excellent comments. I'm going to respond right after the break. We're going to a break right now, 844-967-2789. Lines are open. I am going to respond to Bill of Oconomowoc right after the break.
He ought to make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, guess it's time for the judgment day.
Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up on Bill of Oconomowoc's excellent comments. And here's the deal. I think very highly of Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. They have huge courage. I mean, Liz Cheney is in Wyoming. And she, that's a state that gave Trump the largest margin he got of anywhere. I think about 40-point margin. And it's a small state. It only has 600,000 people, but it gets a congressman. Most congressional districts now are 750,000 people. But it gets a congressman because every state has to get at least one. It gets two senators because every state has to get two senators. That means they have two senators representing 600,000 people. California has two senators representing 40 million people. That was a deal struck in the Constitution by the slaveholding states and the North to have any kind of country at all, because they did not want to be outstripped, as they foresaw they would, by the mercantile North, the Massachusetts and New York, with their ports and their trade. And that's what we got. That's what we got. Yet she in Wyoming is doing what she's doing, and there are increasing discussions about her maybe running for president. Adam Kinzinger represents the Rock area, right up in the northwest, well, up near the Beloit, border with Beloit and Janesville, Rockford, that area. And so he has a lot of character. He has a lot of character. He's also a colonel, by the way, in the Air Force Reserve, and he's seen combat. He's a good man. I'm for Joe Biden. Joe Biden's our nominee. I hope he is. He's a great president, in my view. He's putting up with some very difficult circumstances. But I would be relieved if Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger were the ticket on the Republican Party. These are people who have extraordinary character. That's why I oppose these idiots in the Democratic Party who are trying to take out Peter Meyer was very much like Liz and Adam in Michigan. He was one of the 10 or 11 people who voted to impeach Trump, and they're putting money in a primary to help a right-wing nut knock him off and drag the Republican Party down and America down, because the right-wing nut will then be in a Republican district and could be the congressman. Same thing with the right-wing nut that Democrats intervened to put in as the Republican nominee in Pennsylvania and Maryland. We're going back to the lines. Gary of Sussex, my friend. Thanks for calling. Gary, what's in your mind?
You know, I was listening to you guys talk about Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger. Yes, I think that they ought to run for president on the Democratic ticket, of course, because Liz Cheney is down by 28 points in Wyoming. She's going to be out of a job. And nobody on the Republican side likes her. Nobody. Nobody. So she's very popular with Democrats. So I think that she has a chance. I think that, Sleepy Joe is not going to be your nominee. They're going to find somebody else. And I think Liz Cheney would do well, my opinion. But not as a Republican.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. You're a principled conservative. I enjoy it when you call in. You know, we have some people who call in who, you know, just want to hurl invective, but a principal conservative I like listening to. But I know a lot of principal conservatives in the Republican Party who can't tolerate Trump. I mean, they're not going to tolerate a guy who incites people to murder his vice president. Okay. Now, what is it about Liz Cheney that you know, you would criticize? She has courage. She's standing up. And yeah, in Wyoming, she may not get renominated. I agree with that. But she seems like a good person with integrity. And, you know, I admire good people with integrity in any party. As a principal conservative, Gary, what is it about Liz Cheney that you don't like?
I guess she doesn't play ball. And if you're either a Democrat, if you're a Republican, you're not playing ball with the team, and you're going out there and doing your own thing, the coach is going to bench you. And that's exactly what's happening. She's not playing ball. I'm not saying that she's 100% wrong in some of the stuff that she's doing, but she's not taking the Republicans' side on anything. She's just dropped. And the reason a lot of people don't like her is because she's from the old Bush part, okay, and her dad, Dick Cheney. When Donald Trump ripped on Jeb Bush and literally kicked him out of being a nominee for the presidency, the Cheneys, the Bushes, had it out for Trump. And there's a lot of animosity there, and there's a lot of, and I agree 100% with you, there's a lot of no-Trumpers in this world, and I was one of them. I was. Up until about after a year, when he was a president after a year, I changed my mind. But before that, I held my nose and I asked God to forgive me for voting for Donald Trump. It's the honest truth. But I just could not vote for Hillary, and I wasn't going to not be on the team. My brother told me he would excommunicate me out of the family. I said, I can't vote for Trump. You got to vote for Trump. I can't stand him, I told him. I can't stand this guy, you know? So I'm just telling you, this is how I look at it, and there's a lot of people that look at it the same way I do. You got to be on the team or forget it. Just go jump on, go to the other side. Quit and go to the other side. And she probably will. She will not be reelected, and she will run as a Democrat. But she's the old guard Republicans, and you know, she just hates Donald Trump, and she just wants to get him out. And it's all personal with her.
You know, that's interesting, Gary, because I do look on you as a principal conservative. And I would just say this, when you talk about the team, you know, I agree. I played sports in through high school, and I played baseball. You know, I played basketball and football. And you're right. If the coach gave instructions and say, we're going to run this kind of a screen or whatever, and you said, no, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, he'd bench you. But sports are different from politics. You know, politics has to do with the good of the nation. And in Europe, like in, say, the UK, they can withhold your ability to even run for office again if you don't go along with what the party says. So if there's a vote that you don't agree with, you have a choice If it's a vote where they say this is a party vote, you must vote, because sometimes they have votes that say it's your conscience, do whatever you want, and you don't do it, then they throw you out of the party. In this country, we don't do that, but effectively we do because of the things you've just said, which is that people rise up and they won't nominate them. But consider what Liz Cheney is doing. In my view, she's a very conservative Republican. She voted for the Trump tax cuts. It's a true statement that she voted more with legislation that Trump put into the Congress than any of her detractors. She's a very conservative Republican. She's pro-life. She's lower taxes, regulation, and all of that. Where she drew the line was on two things. It started with that first impeachment with Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine is being subject to genocide by the Russians, and Trump tells Zelensky, I won't send you any weapons unless you finger Joe Biden somehow. And then, yeah, she voted to impeach him. And the second one was the insurrection, where he says, Mike, right in the middle of it, knowing these guys are armed, says, Mike Pence didn't have the courage. They were saying, hang Mike Pence. She couldn't, you know, put up with that. And so she voted to impeach again. So to me, that is not contravening Republican principles. Remember, the founder of the Republican Party was Abraham Lincoln. And George H.W. Bush was a Republican. George W. Bush was a Republican. But Dwight Eisenhower was a Republican. He won the Second World War. He was the commanding general. Ulysses Grant was a Republican. These are people I really admire. I admire Ulysses Grant. I admire Dwight Eisenhower. Ronald Reagan was a Republican. So none of those people would have suggested to a mob that they go up and kill their vice president or anyone else. So I think she doesn't, I don't think she hates Trump personally. I don't think it's like a personal thing, doesn't like his personality. I think it's more his actions, frankly. And Trump is not a Republican. Trump was a liberal Democrat in New York until he announced for president. He was pro-choice, he was pro-gun control. He was right down the line a New York Democrat. But he has a very, very commanding personality. And he just went then, and then one area that he did take the lead on was immigration. And I've said before, I think Liz Cheney agrees with him on immigration. Frankly, I'm not happy with the Democratic Party's immigration policy. But these are rational things we can talk about. But murdering your vice president is something else. Liz Cheney's not attacking the Republican Party. Liz Cheney, in effect, is attacking the idea of murdering a vice president, murdering the Speaker of the House, causing at least five deaths, 140 officers injured, beaten, slammed into the, you know, the wall. One guy's head was crushed. I don't know if you saw that terrible video. He's going, ah, his head's being crushed. So I think that's the thing. But Gary, I enjoy your calling in, and it's very instructive to me to find from a principled conservative what it is that you don't like about Liz Cheney. So thanks for calling. We're going to the end of the show. It's a great show. Great call-ins, as always. Matt Flynn, Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today. Hee 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 h